Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the internet's favorite show about plastic surgery, health, and beauty. This is Nip Talk. Today's topic, some pretty good ones. First off, we're going to talk about the truth about medical error deaths. And then up next, there's a warning about counterfeit Botox that's out there hurting people. We're going to inform you about that. And then finally, we're going to look at all the celebrities of how they look when they turn 50, and it's coming up right now.
Part of the Dallas Metroplex, this is Nip Talk. An honest and uncensored show about plastic surgery, health, beauty, and lifestyle. With your host, plastic surgeon Dr. Bruce Herman, and your co-host, entrepreneur and social media influencer Sarah Bennett. Now it's time to discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the topics everyone is talking about. It's time for Nip Talk.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Please hit that like and subscribe button. It helps us so much. I'm your host, plastic surgeon Dr. Bruce Herman. And with me, as always, is the amazing Sarah.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. In the box, Trovis, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Everybody having a great Friday?
Yeah.
Cannot complain.
I apologize for keeping you guys late. I actually went over in surgery a little bit longer than I thought I was going to.
We'll forgive you.
So we can't banter too much today. We got to jump into segments.
Got to do it quick.
Jump into segments. Are you guys ready?
Yes. I think so.
All right.
I think so.
All right. First off, this one actually is one that I've been meaning to talk about for a while. And this is a segment about medical error deaths and the truth about what's real. Like, how big of a problem is this? Now, I know you guys are on social media, and I assume that you occasionally look at medical topics just because of, you know, our background here. Have either of you guys ever seen a article talking about the fact that medical error deaths is like a huge problem in the United States, or that it's like one of the biggest causes of death? Have you guys seen that? Okay.
I've not seen it.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, the reason I asked that is because, I mean, I probably read a few more medical articles than you guys. I mean, just with my
maybe job, a little bit more.
Just with my job. And since about 2016, there's been this kind of like this group of media outlets and people on social media talking about a specific article. And this article was in the British Medical Journal, which is obviously a very big publication.
Deal.
And this journal article, and I think the next picture, Travis, I think is that journal article. Yeah, here it is, if anybody wants to look it up. From British Medical Journal 2016, medical error, the third leading cause of death in the United States. And this article claimed that medical errors cost 250,000 deaths per year, which would make it the third leading cause of death behind heart disease, which is 700,000, and cancer.
I wonder if it's gotten any better since 2016.
Well, so we're going to break all this down. So when this article came out, a lot of doctors were like, this is just absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, this just can't be real, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're in the trenches, we kind of know what's happening. But despite all the objection by physicians, like, the media ran with this. Like, and I got a couple articles from like really big publications. Travis, throw that up there, that picture. Yeah. So, you know, Huffington Post, CNN, US News World Reports, NPR, like, everybody ran with this this headline of, you know, medical mistakes, third leading cause of death in the United States.
Pretty scary.
Well, yeah, and you know, and it's like, well, why would somebody run with just, you know, this study? Well, I mean, the media is going to do it because it's shocking, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to get clicks. And then I think a lot of the reason that social media had people posting it is because there are a lot of alternative medicine people out there that mm-hmm. benefits them if traditional medicine looks bad.
Yeah.
So there are people out there that would want to push this narrative. And so, you know, the first question they ask, okay, is this real or is this not real? And so before I kind of dig into this study, because it's kind of been broken down by not just me, but a bunch of people, I just want to talk about my personal experience with medical errors. I have to say, and I was thinking about this last night, I personally, in the 22 years I've been a doctor uh-huh. now, I personally haven't seen myself, a patient that I was caring for, that a medical error caused their death.
Okay.
I haven't seen it in 22 years. I've seen plenty of medical errors. In fact, you know, they're not that uncommon. In fact, like, you think about what kind of errors are there. Well, there's like active errors, like something you do, like you give the wrong drug, or maybe you're in surgery and you you know, do something just grossly negligent and yeah. someone dies. And then there's errors of omission, meaning you miss something. I mean, I see that all the time. I get consulted for patients that have really complex stuff. And I'm like, oh, guys, this is the problem. Or like just the other day, I ordered a radiograph and the radiologist missed something that okay. I was looking for and I picked it up. So, I mean, technically those are medical errors. But, you know, the question is, did they cause any harm?
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, I've seen plenty of medical errors, misdiagnosis. I've heard stories of people that I didn't necessarily were involved with their care. Like, oh, this patient went, you know, to the OR and this bad thing happened and they died and it was a medical error. Or I've heard of, you know, people getting the wrong drug and dying. I just haven't seen it myself. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, right off the bat, I mean, if, you know, if I've been in medicine 22 years, I mean, surely if that number was that big, I would at least have some personal experience with it. Because, I mean, I have done trauma surgery, critical care. I mean, I've done things where people have the chance to die because they're so sick.
Yeah.
So this is my own personal experience. It's like, yeah, there's no way that that's right. And so digging into that study, you know, this study was looking at hospital deaths. Okay, so there's 750,000 deaths in the hospitals every year. A lot of people die outside the hospital, but this study is specifically looking at that. So according to this study, it's saying that 1 in 3 people in the hospital die from medical error. I mean, there's just no way that even a layman could like look at that and be like, there's no way that's true. I mean, there's no way that 1 out of every 3 deaths in hospital is due to
Are they saying like these people that have died just have had medical errors?
So that's kind of like what one of the problems is. Yeah. So digging into this study, you know, first off, this wasn't a new study. Basically what it did is it looked at 4 previous studies that were pretty small, like, you know, little groups of people in various places. And it tried to extrapolate that out into a national number, which obviously is not always going to work. Mm-hmm. And it had massively inflated numbers for a few reasons, because first off, it was looking at any type of adverse event, okay? So adverse event, if somebody has a drug reaction, mm-hmm. that's an adverse event, and that was getting thrown into this is a medical error. Well, I mean, most doctors will tell you that, you know, just because someone has an adverse event, number one, it doesn't mean it's a medical error. I mean, sometimes there are just adverse events that are out of, that can't be prevented, right? It's unpreventable. And two, you know, not all adverse events affect the patients. And so, you know, as I was saying, I've seen a lot of medical errors and I haven't seen anyone die from them. A lot of medical errors happen, but really don't weigh into what is the final outcome.
Right.
You know, if somebody gets a wrong drug and the drug's harmless, I mean, yeah, it's a medical error, but then if they go on and they die from something else, you know, that's how this study kind of inflated those numbers. Okay. Because they're just looking at any type of adverse event. Well, I mean, in really complex patients where you've got tons of doctors working, tons of drugs going in, lots of procedures, lots of nurses, I mean, you know, yeah, it's not unbelievable that maybe 1 out of 3 patients has some sort of adverse event. Mm-hmm. But the question is, does that have any effect, you know, on their final outcome?
Right.
And the answer is no. I mean, you know, this is why I have a problem with a lot of studies out there. And this happened a lot, like, you know, recently with the pandemic and other things where like all these studies comes out and people just like glom on to like one sentence of the study and run with it. Like it's like that the God's truth.
People always cling to negative stuff.
Anyways. Yeah, right. Well, it's like, you know, the media wants to like get clicks. And so, you know, a headline like that, shocking.
Fear sells.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, and then like I said, there's people out there that profit when modern medicine looks bad.
Yeah.
So there actually was another study, and oddly enough, this study, although is much better, got like zero traction. Why? Because it's not shocking. So it was a 2019 study. Throw it up here. I think I got it, Charles. Is that the next thing? Yeah. Association of Adverse Effects of Medical Treatment with Mortality in the United States. So this was from JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association, which is one of the biggest publications here in the United States. So it looked at adverse effects of medical treatment, but it broke it down into 6 categories. So it had it as adverse drug events, surgical and perioperative adverse events. So that'd be like just regular complications from surgery.
Okay.
Misadventure. Okay, remember that one, misadventure. Adverse events of medical management, adverse events with medical surgical devices, and then other. So when you look at those categories and like what's involved with them, really the only one that most people would say is a medical error is misadventure. Okay. Like misadventure is like things I was talking about. Like, for example, if I'm going to give you a dose of pain medication and like the therapeutic dose is 2 milligrams, but I actually drop 200 and I give it to you and you die, that's a misadventure. Mm-hmm. Or if somebody does something like in surgery that's just not complication related, but just grossly out of bounds and you die from it, mm-hmm. then that's a misadventure. And so when you look at that study and the misadventure, the percentage of people that had misadventures was just a tiny fraction of the adverse events. And so that's why that 2016 study can't be taken on face value, because it's looking at all these different categories of things that are not necessarily preventable and not necessarily considered medical errors, and saying these are all medical errors.
Yeah, so just like some bad data.
Yeah, it's just or more like bad interpretation of the data. You know, it's
uninformed data.
It's not like really digging down to, okay, you know, is this preventable and is this truly a medical error versus like a complication of surgery that mm-hmm. is a known complication. I mean, you know, people have complications in surgery. It's part of medicine, right?
Like, yeah.
Everything has risks and it has benefits. And so if somebody has a complication, I mean, that's not a medical error. I mean, mm-hmm. that's just the bad luck that patient had, that they're the one out of 100 that's going to get an infection or whatever.
Yeah.
So when you look at the misadventure deaths, and of course you have to extrapolate this out, the number drops dramatically, and it drops down to about 5 to 20,000, which to me sounds believable. I mean, I know that number's huge, and obviously it's something that since about 2000, hospitals and doctors have been working on. Like there's these quality initiatives now yeah. where like we seek out what medical errors are happening and how to prevent them. And what's also interesting about that 2019 study, it showed that the adverse events are going down. They're mm-hmm. not increasing, they're actually getting better, which yeah. would make sense. We're getting smarter, we're learning where mistakes happen, yeah. and we're putting safeguards up to prevent them. So yeah, I mean, I think that 5 to 20,000 number, which obviously is a high number, but it's not 250,000. I mean, that's a ludicrous number. I mean, it's just hard to believe that.
I wonder who sponsored that article.
You know, I mean, people think that these articles are written by like these super high powered, you know, medical. I mean, I wrote articles as mm-hmm. a resident when I barely knew, you know, anything about medicine, yeah. right? Because there's a lot of people, like the grad students or, you know, the residents, maybe med students, that, you know, they'll be, oh, I'm going to write a paper about this. And they can literally do it. And then something like this will come up where they interpret the data in a way that is a shocking title. And suddenly, you know, everyone runs with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know who wrote that that British Medical Journal article. And, you know, I'm not here saying that medical errors don't happen. I mean, that's not it. But, like, it doesn't benefit the American populace to mistakenly believe that if they go into the hospital that, you know, there's a 1 in 3 chance that they're going to yeah. die from a medical. I mean, no, that's just ludicrous. It doesn't help. I mean, it fosters, you know, mistrust of people. I mean, it's good for people to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, if the population is scared to go to the doctor, then they're going to be less healthy than if they regularly went.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, with the whole pandemic thing, there, you know, doctors were catching flack about all that. And so, I mean, things like this just aren't helpful.
No, not at all.
They're not. So yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to kind of dig into that. And so, yeah, I went and pulled it all and, you know, kind of looked at all that, the data about that being that British Medical Journal. And yeah, it's just not true. I mean, it's just flat out wrong.
Yeah.
So now.
Now you know the truth.
Now you people know the truth about medical errors, that despite that 2016 study from British Medical Journal, medical errors are not the third leading cause of death. They're not even close. I mean, it's going to be like way, way down at the bottom. And medical errors do occur. We know that hospitals and doctors are working out with quality initiative programs to learn about when these medical errors occur and how to fix them to make sure that you guys are safe. So
absolutely.
Cool. Moving on. All right. Have you guys heard about the fake Botox going around?
No, just you've told us about the Botox from last week, though.
I actually did hear.
Oh, the new one. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is different. Travis, you heard about?
Yeah, I saw this on TV one day this week, and I thought about you. I was like, oh god, Dr. Herman.
So. I'm gonna be on CBS. I don't know if it's next week or the week after talking about this.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, CBS.
You gotta tune in.
Yeah, it's CBS Phoenix, so it's not local CBS, but still, it's kind of cool to talk about these things. Yeah, I've done a few segments for CBS Phoenix on various topics, and now they kind of know me, so when these things pop up, like they'll reach out. So, there was a release from both the Food and Drug Administration and the CDC in the past week about counterfeit Botox. And when this first came out, I was like, that's so bizarre. Like, who would make
it? Are they making like it under the brand name Botox?
Well, it's counterfeit. Like, yes, they're selling it in a box that's supposed to look like the official Botox brand.
Ew.
Crazy, right? So you have to be careful, because there's been now 19 women who've had complications from this counterfeit Botox.
Yeah.
And 9 of which had to go to the hospital for things like respiratory.
What's it made out of?
Well, it is a neurotoxin. So the counterfeit one actually has the active ingredient. You know, Botox is a muscle paralytic, which is why it's so dangerous, because if you took cosmetic Botox and you injected, 100 units into your bloodstream, it would kill you.
Yeah.
You know, but fortunately, the way that we use it in cosmetics, it stays right in the area that we inject it. And so it doesn't get in your bloodstream. And it just, as you know, it causes your muscles to not work, your frown lines and your laugh lines and all that. So used correctly, and when you're using the real product, it's extremely safe. I mean, there's millions of people getting Botox out there. But apparently there's something different about this counterfeit Botox, because they've had many people where it's got into their system, and they're starting to have a paralysis of muscles they don't want paralyzed,
like your lungs,
like your diaphragm, like your larynx muscles to where you can't swallow. So this is, and no one's died from this counterfeit Botox, but definitely there's been some.
They've become extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. and so the states where this has happened, tell me one state where counterfeit Botox has happened, Sarah.
Florida.
Bam! I knew you could do it. Florida, Colorado, Illinois, Kentucky, Nebraska, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Washington are the 9 states so far with this fake counterfeit.
I'm surprised California doesn't on there. Did you say California?
I did not say California.
That's surprising.
Where do you guys, I have to ask, where do you guys think this is coming from? I mean, surely it's not being made in the United States, I don't think. It's got to be coming from, like, China or India, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a foreign supplier.
I mean, it has to be. I mean, I just don't know. I have to think.
No idea.
I mean, because you would have to have, like, a lab to create this stuff.
It probably came from Florida first.
Florida get a bad.
I wonder where they're like.
And like a virus.
Where is the factory that's making counterfeit Botox? I mean, I just don't believe that there's like a underground lab somewhere in the United States making.
Wherever it is, it's probably dirty.
I bet it is dirty. That's probably why they're having so many problems. So, as I said, the authentic Botox has not been associated with any of these bad reactions. And I want to show you guys the difference in the boxes, because when I saw the fake box, I was like, yeah, that's absolutely a fake. So the one on the right is the real one. That's the one I have tons of those in my office. So what's different about the box? Well, first off, Botox doesn't come in 150 units. It comes in mostly 100, although there are some sample vials of authentic Botox that are 50, but there's not a 150. The fake Botox says botulinum toxin type A. The real one doesn't. It says it's onabotulism toxin. You can kind of see it's right there in a Botox.
How have they not been able to trace like who's making this? Like
I don't
what company
know.
Like, is it a company or is it?
Well,
like...
I don't. That's what I'm asking. I was looking it up last night to try and figure it out. And
that
as of
so
right
weird.
Now, I mean, I guess they need to put more detectives on this, because like as of right now, they're kind of like.
I'm not gonna lie to you. The fake box almost look like a juice box or something like that.
It does look kind of janky, doesn't
it? Yeah, it doesn't look super professional.
Well,
yeah, that's what it kind of looks like an old version of a Botox.
And why, if you're going to make a fake Botox, why in the world wouldn't you copy the box exactly? If you're going to go to the trouble to have a laboratory to create Botox to sell this, counterfeit stuff, why wouldn't you copy the box?
Right.
What other kind of drug is like could accidentally become? What is the normal name for it?
Those people are using a botulinum type toxin. They are. I mean,
but what other drug could be used that could if they're making drugs and it like accidentally turns into this and they're like, oh my gosh, how am I gonna?
I mean, the only thing would be the Botox competitors, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because you can't. There's no real treatment for Botox.
And then they're trying to sabotage.
Maybe it could be the
Botox.
Competitors. The competitors are created.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So anyway, I have to, when we were talking about stuff that looks janky like the box. So all 19 women that had these problems reported that the circumstances around their Botox injections were questionable, meaning they either felt like their injector didn't know what they were doing, or it was done in a weird place, like someone's house or
like a hair salon,
like a back alley. I don't know. Like, but all 19 reported that the circumstances of their Botox injections were questionable. So of course, yikes. You know, the next question is, well, how do you prevent getting this counterfeit Botox, which could potentially hurt you? I mean, I think it's pretty common sense. Like, if you're going to go get Botox, like, don't go get it in a back alley from someone who doesn't
don't
really know
what they're doing. Don't get it behind a Kroger.
Yeah, okay. I know, or behind Kroger. Like, go to a reputable place. I mean, obviously, plastic surgery offices have Botox, but you don't have to go to a plastic surgeon's office. I mean, reputable med spas are going to have the real Botox, because no reputable person is going to use this fake Botox, and nor would they ever, like, have access to
it. Yeah, they would know what it looks like. They would know, be like...
Right, they'd be like, this is not right. I mean, and plus, you order the stuff directly from Allergan. It's not like that there's a, you know, rando coming by the office that we buy our Botox from. We literally...
A Botox peddler.
Yeah, there's no Botox peddlers out there. Like, like
you literally just... suitcase.
You order it from the factory, and they send it to you direct. So yeah, I mean, if you don't want to get counterfeit Botox, just go to a legitimate place. I mean, I guess, you know, the one thing where you might run into it is, like, Botox parties. I mean, those things are popular. Heck, I used to do Botox parties back when I first started as a plastic surgeon because I was just looking for any work I could get.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's where you could potentially run into this, where you don't know, you know, where that person works. Are they legit? You're just going to someone's house because they're saying, hey, we got wine and Botox. And that's where you can get in trouble. So yeah. I guess maybe you have to be careful now about Botox parties if you live in one of those 9 states. I mean, most Botox parties are going to be legit, but that's a place where you could definitely run into the fake stuff.
Scary.
I know, right? I mean, we have to worry about fake plastic surgeons. Now it's fake Botox. I mean, what is this world coming to?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, people will make a buck off anything.
It's probably the same people that are using whatever it was to make your butt bigger. What was it?
Oh, like silicone from,
yeah.
the,
from Home Depot.
From Home Depot. Well, I you know, I guarantee you what happened. I bet you, like, when you buy this fake Botox, it's probably $50 a box or something, right? It's like dirt cheap, and then people are trying to pass it off as the real thing.
Oh, it's on a discount.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, these people are probably making a lot of money buying this fake stuff, you know, because a real vial of Botox costs around $600, you know, and so if you can get one for $50 and charge, you know, $1,000 to inject it, you're making huge money. I mean, you don't make a lot of money on the real Botox. Like, yeah. It's just the margins are just too thin. So, but interesting, fake Botox. You got to be aware, people.
That's wild.
I know, right?
Yeah, ask to see the box.
What's next? Fake breast implants? I mean, what are we coming to in this country?
I don't know.
All right.
Scary place.
I think this would be a fun topic. I want to thank my wife for throwing this topic out. She was suggesting that because Posh Spice just turned 50, and there was a picture of her, that we should do a segment about celebrities at 50 and who's holding up and who's not. And I thought that actually is pretty cool. So I got some pictures, and we're just going to look at them and decide, okay, do they look their age? They look better? They look worse? That maybe they've had some work done. So let's throw up the first one. I think the first one is, yeah, Victoria Beckham, Posh Spice.
Posh.
And these all pictures of all of these people are at 50, not how they look now, but how they looked at 50. So some of them might be old pictures.
Do you have like the ones where they're younger?
No, I just did 50.
Okay.
Yeah, we could do that. I just did 50. So I think Posh Spice looks great for 50. I mean, if I just threw up that picture and said, how old is that person? I'd probably say like maybe 40. I mean, I think she definitely.
And she's married to David Beckham, so she's doing good.
Yeah, I mean, I think she definitely looks younger than 50. What do you think, Trey?
Yeah, she looks good. Not just for 50, though, but she just looks good.
I mean, she looks good in general. Yeah, she really does. I mean, I would look at her and be, yeah, maybe she's like 40 years old.
She's
she's
a Spice girl.
Looking good. Yeah, all right, let's see the next
thumbs
one.
Up.
Oh, there's my man, Sean Connery. Now, I think Sean Connery is super awesome.
Sean Connery
I love him.
Looks 50 years old.
He's a handsome guy, but he looks older than 50 there. I don't know if it's like the wrinkles or like
Sarah's just so matter-of-fact about it.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said he looks 50
Sean
years
Connery
old.
Looks 50 years old.
I mean, I think 50 would be gracious. Like,
he's a handsome gracious. Old man.
I mean, he's a handsome dude. He's like a good-looking grandpa, but
absolutely.
I mean, I don't know. He looks older
especially
than 50.
When he talks.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, he's got
he
the
does
best
look
voice.
His age. He looks his age. But like you said, he's a very handsome guy.
Now, Ricky Martin, on the other hand, I'd
he's
say that.
He's 50 in this
he
picture.
Looks great.
He's 50 in the picture. I was thinking, that guy looks like 30 years old. Look at him. He looks awesome,
yeah,
man.
That's wild.
He looks so good.
He looks great.
Yeah, Ricky Martin holding up.
Yeah,
he might be one of the, he might, the one that I thought looked the best at 50 is the last one, but Ricky Martin is a close second.
Yeah,
all right, what do we got? Steve Carell?
I think he looks younger. He looks really, like if he said, hi, I'm 50 years old, I'd be like, okay.
Okay. Well, I personally think he looks like maybe early mid 40s. Yeah.
I think that has to do with whenever he got his hair fixed.
I was just about to say, I'm pretty sure that he had hair plugs. Yeah.
Whenever he first started The Office.
The Office. The first season of The Office, you can see
very visibly.
And then I didn't know if like maybe they did that on purpose to make it.
Because he's supposed to be kind of like a a sleaze ball.
I mean, if people want to get hair plugs,
I know,
that's
but
fine,
like, but
right,
he,
yeah,
but like that's the persona,
like
that
the janky
he was,
looking hair plugs, yeah. But I think he looks a little bit younger than 50, and I think he looks very good. He's a very handsome man.
Absolutely,
he All is. Right.
Oh, this is one of my absolute faves, and this is not a great picture of her because
no, it's
I
a little
was
pixelated.
Yeah, it is
Gosh,
because
Dr.
it was like
Bruce.
A wider picture, and I was trying to find one of specifically the year because this
she
is from
looks
like,
better in that TV.
This is from like 2009, so this is Susanna Hoffs. This is from the Bengals. She still looks amazing at like whatever she is, like 62, 63. I think she sold her soul to the devil. I really did her disservice with this picture because the picture looked way better than this. I think it just kind of came up bad, but I think she looks way
yeah,
in the 50.
Yeah, super pretty.
She looks good. All right, what do we got next? Another
Cameron.
One of my absolute favorites, Cameron Diaz. I love her, love her, love her. I would say 40s.
Yeah.
For her, I mean,
she doesn't look drastically younger than her age.
She doesn't.
No.
Like, she probably looks like mid 40s there. But I think she's beautiful. I mean,
yeah.
I love Cameron Diaz. Like, since Something About Mary, that's like one of my all time favorite movies. She's always been like one of my favorites. All right,
oh,
who
she's
we got?
Been my favorite since
Charlie's Angels.
The Mask.
Oh, The Mask. Yeah. That was before, I think.
That was her very first movie.
Yeah, that was before Something About Mary. Something About Mary is one of my all time favorites.
Yeah.
So
I just watched Antonio Banderas.
Huh?
I just saw him. He was like on TV with the Mask of Zorro.
Oh, was he?
And I kept saying,
"Oh, from like the old."
Yeah, and I kept saying Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas.
And
so
and Avery was like, "What?"
I think he looks actually a little older than 50 in this picture.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, he looks great. He's a handsome guy.
I think he looks but he looks better than Sean Connery.
I agree with that.
Sure.
I agree with that, yeah. I mean, he looks younger than Sean Connery. Sean Connery looks good. He just looks like, you know, like...
He's an old man.
Yeah, he looks old.
But that's because he doesn't have any hair.
Yeah, that really does make people look older, yeah. But I think he looks all right. Okay, Kirk Douglas.
He looks nice.
He looks nice, but I think he definitely looks like he's in his 50s. I mean, without question, I would say even maybe closer to 60. So although he's a good-looking gentleman, I don't think that he looks younger than his age.
Yeah.
You know, he looks kind of like his age or older. All right, what else have we got? Gwyneth Paltrow.
She gives me the same vibe as Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, 40s.
Yeah, the only reason is because both of them, I can tell that both of them have had work done.
Yeah,
and
full
so
cheeks,
it just makes it look.
Makes you think like they're older.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she looks good. I do. But if she said, I'm 50 years old, I'd be like, oh, okay. I mean, you look good for 50, but I'm not going to believe that.
Yeah.
All right, who we got next? Nicole Kidman.
Same.
Yeah.
I think her work looks a little bit better than...
Her cheeks look really, really full.
Yeah.
I think she's had a facelift and maybe some cheek filler or something.
Yeah, she's had a lot on her face.
She looks done. But, I mean, she looks good, but I think...
She looks done.
Yeah, but she looks good, though. I mean, to me, she looks done. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean, she...
I know. But
she looks like
funny.
She's had work done, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Halle Berry.
She looks great. I'd say she looks
definitely looks more natural.
Early 40s. There. I mean, she's got like 5 to 10 years younger than her age, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, she's looking good there.
She cute.
I think he looks really good.
Yep.
I mean,
Tyson Baker, he doesn't look 50.
He doesn't.
It's crazy how he like just stays looking young.
Yeah.
How old is Will Smith?
Oh,
he's
I didn't.
Past 50, gotta be.
Yeah, he's definitely past 50.
Oh.
He's older than me for sure.
Yeah.
He doesn't look.
I think
older
Tyson Baker looks
either.
Great. I mean, he's definitely one of the better like holding up. As good as anyone.
Absolutely.
Oh, another one of my absolute favorites. I love, love, love J-Lo. I think she looks awesome. She's 50 years old in that pic.
Wild.
Dude, she's amazing. There was another picture that dropped of her just recently where she's wearing this like crazy dress that's revealing yeah. dress, and like she looks like super toned and muscular. I mean,
she's always been like that.
Yeah, I love J-Lo. I mean, she's always been one of my faves, and she looks awesome.
She's
like,
she's body goals.
I mean, she
sure.
looks like, I mean, she could pass for like maybe like late 30s
she
in that
fit.
Picture. She looks mm-hmm. great. You go, J-Lo. One of the Fly Girls. Raquel Welch, yeah. classic movie star, definitely
she
hasn't had
nice.
A lot of work done. She looks great. That's from 1980.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she looks good. I wouldn't say 50. I would say maybe 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks good, which is impressive because you know they didn't have all the
stuff. She doesn't
stuff.
Look like she got that much. Maybe
well,
Botox.
You know, nowadays with like the lasers and stuff mm-hmm. that we have, like you can actually look really young without having surgery.
Yeah.
And
she just
didn't.
Maybe looks like she had Botox.
Yeah,
and
she
that's
looks
it.
Awesome.
No,
she may,
none of the
know,
other
no,
stuff.
No, not that early. She may have had a brow lift, but I don't know. Bon Jovi, man, he looks a little rough to me.
Yeah, he doesn't.
I mean, to me, he looks kind of like mid to late 50s.
He has some good amount of hair still, so that's good.
Yeah, his hair looks good, but I don't
his
know.
Hair,
just me,
his
he
hair
looked,
doesn't look 50.
No, but he kind of looks his age to me.
Yeah.
Or a little bit older.
At least he doesn't look like Sean Connery.
At oh, least goodness. He looks like Sean Connery. Elizabeth Taylor.
That picture, no, ma'am.
I would definitely.
It's because of her haircut. If she did not have the old lady haircut,
yeah, the haircut
old women,
is not helping.
Old
her.
Women back then, like, as I feel like as soon as you like got a grandchild, it was like I better cut my hair into this weird little
get
bob.
Get the Brady Bunch cut.
Yeah, my grandma did that, and I was like, yep. Why are you doing this to yourself? And I told my mom to never do that, and she hasn't.
I think she looks her age. Oh,
she looks
Elaine.
Good too.
I can't call her Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It's Elaine. It's Elaine. I mean, I think she looks. Good. I think, I don't know. I would say she looks pretty close to 50, maybe late 40s. I
yeah.
don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I think 40s for sure.
Yeah, I'd say the same.
Yeah. Clooney.
Yeah.
Clooney looks good. I mean, I think the gray hair makes him look a lot older than he is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. It makes him look older than...
He looks older than Steve Carell.
Yes, I would agree with that. Like, I think Steve Carell looks younger than him. I mean, Clooney's a good-looking dude. I think if he dyed his hair, he'd probably look younger. But, I mean, he looks like he's... I would say he's probably close to 50.
I think Sean Connery would look like him if he had hair.
If he had hair.
I think he would give off the same vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Donald Trump.
The Trumpster! I mean, he looks 50 to me in that picture.
Yeah.
I mean...
He looks so much like his son. It's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah,
he put little Baron or huge Baron Trump next to him.
I think he definitely looks his age. Maybe not like older than his age, but I think he definitely looks 50. And if we have Trump, you got to have Brock. He looks good. I think between Trump and Brock at 50,
but
Obama's
you know what's funny?
It. He
Barack
better.
Obama aged so quickly as he became president
yeah, he
from
sure
all
did.
That stress.
I bet, man.
It
it's amazing.
Like 10 years off of him.
There's been articles that have showed. Presidents at the start of their term and the end, and like
they
like the other one that
rough.
Aged a lot was W. Like W,
I bet.
Like really, really.
Well, yeah,
aged.
He was the president.
And, like,
oh
all that
my
stuff.
Gosh, he probably aged immediately as soon as they
like
told him
years,
what
yeah.
was happening.
I think Barack beats out Trump in the former president's who looks best at 50 contest.
Oh, definitely.
All right.
Betty White.
Betty White.
She looks great.
She looks great at 50, doesn't she?
But she looked great when she was in her 90s.
I know.
Though.
I mean,
yeah.
And this is in 72.
And she had that silly haircut.
Even with the bad haircut, she looks good.
That she's had her whole life. She probably got grandchildren and was like, it's time.
I didn't realize she had dimples.
I think
yeah.
Betty White looks awesome for
she
50.
Does.
I mean, and back in 1972 when you had basically no, you know, recourse to slow down time like we do today, I mean, hats off to her. Genetics yeah. are amazing.
All right, this next one is the last one, I believe.
Oh, is this the last one?
This
all
is
right.
The last one.
This is the one I thought looked the absolute best for 50. Throw it up.
Right on.
Look at her.
Union.
She
yep.
could pass for like 25. She doesn't look even close to 50.
She looks great. I actually
she looks
just,
amazing.
What's that? What's that show? That movie that is
she
about that
in,
book. Huh? Think Like a Man. I watched
yeah, yeah.
that. I watched both of them yesterday. Mm-hmm. Or
you know what's
or two
wild.
Days ago.
So
that movie's old.
There was a little controversy about her not too long ago.
Oh,
they,
really?
They were, like, social media was wondering if she had plastic surgery.
Uh-huh.
She may have.
Because
I mean,
now
looks
she looks
so
yeah, she looks
good.
Different now.
Oh, she does?
She looks a little bit different now. Like, something is different about
her. I'm going to dig into that.
Please.
Because, I mean, when I saw that picture, I was like, holy crap. She, I mean, if that girl told me she was 25, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, I follow her on Instagram.
She must have had some work done. Either that or she's got literally the best genetics in the world, or she sold her soul to the devil, one or the other.
Yeah, she looks great, though.
She looks awesome. Yeah. I thought that was fun. To kind of see what celebrities look like at 50. We'll have to maybe dig into that some more. So, all right, you guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really, really do appreciate it. Please leave us a comment. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Maybe we'll do a segment on next week. Nip Talk.
Bye.
Bye.